Well, greetings, Maestro. Here we are at the beginning of a new season. It's early this year, September 9th.
Exactly. We're hitting the road running this year, George.
Yeah, it really is. And Porgy and Bess being the title of the performance.
Right. Yeah, I started this concert. Actually, we're going to open up with Bernstein's Candide, the overture. And this is a wonderful comic operetta that unfortunately doesn't get done much anymore. I'm not sure what the reason is. Maybe because it calls for large forces, huge orchestra, choirs, and a big, big, big cast. Mm-hmm. But the overture lasts, and it's a wonderful wisping piece that's very, very difficult to play, but it's kind of a good Bernstein signature piece.
And really a great piece for a kickoff of a concert. Gosh, for over 20 years, I would occasionally use that to kick off a classical music show because it's short, it's sweet, it's energetic.
Absolutely. It's a great starter for this 17-18 season, which is going to be full of diversity and very exciting. And the reason I started with it, and I'm also bookending the season with it, I'm ending the season with a Bernstein piece.
Okay.
Because in 18, it's going to be a 100-year anniversary of Leonard Bernstein. So it's kind of going to be a big focus, and I think it's valid American music from a great, not only a great, we know him as a great conductor, but he was really a wonderful composer that really wanted to change things and change things up. And it's funny that I put the Gershwin with it, because when I thought about it, they had a lot of things similar, but in opposite directions. Bernstein came from a very classically trained background, but if you listen to his music, including the Candide Overture we're going to hear Saturday evening, but also his West Side Story and music like this, and On the Waterfront, any of the things he's written, have kind of a jazz idiom to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Gershwin came from Tin Pan Alley and the real jazz scene in New York back in those days, but had his other foot in Carnegie Hall because he wanted to be recognized as a classical artist and classical musician. Okay. So they both had the same entities, but they came from different directions at it. And that's why
sort of crossed.
And they sort of crossed, exactly right. And the Porgy and Bess, of course, a great opera in itself, is a huge work, wonderful and a very powerful work. And this one we're doing is this Symphonic Pictures, which is orchestrated by Robert Russell Bennett,
who's
a fabulous orchestrator. So Gershwin did not do this orchestration, and this is not like highlights from Porgy and Bess, where we're just taking clips and tunes and putting them together in a medley. This is a piece of Symphonic Pictures of Bennett's impression of all those beautiful themes that he wove together to become the Symphonic Pictures, a suite for orchestra.
And it's pretty much through composed, isn't it? I haven't listened to it in a while.
Absolutely.
It's not movement after movement. It just flows.
It's one thing all together, correct?
Right on down to the hurricane
and
scene.
It's beautiful. Right, exactly, which unfortunately is relevant this week. But it's a beautiful, beautiful work. So this is why these two American composers appear at the beginning of this first half of the concert and the opening this season.
All right. Symphony in D.
Yeah, this is one, huh? Did you know this piece?
No, and I still haven't heard it, although I will do a shout-out to folks. I noticed on the website today there are clicks, there are links where you can listen to it. So before I put the broadcast together, I'm going to have to listen to that maybe later on this afternoon.
Yeah, that's a great idea. This is a nice new addition to the Paducah Symphony website, which is a great resource, but it also has links, like you just mentioned. You can click on each piece, and it plays a short excerpt from each piece. So if you enjoy the Bernstein and you enjoy Gershwin, you get to hear it and get excited about it. But it also, my formula, as you know, give them something they know and love. That's why the performance is titled Porgy and Bess, because that's the big draw. But I'm introducing them to a new composer and a wonderfully new composition for them. Giovanni Sgambati is one of two Italian composers that wrote orchestral symphonic music. Because, you know, Italy was really known for, early on, the chamber music, vocal music, and, of course, opera. This is what they're known for, operatic music.
And that love of opera sort of shielded them from the bad old things going on up in Germany and France.
That's correct. And they didn't want that. That's absolutely correct. Respighi, being a more contemporary of Sgambati and Martucci, did some symphonic writing, but he was doing more taking pieces and reorchestrating them for fuller orchestra, not really creating new works as much. Giuseppe Martucci was one that I've introduced here also. We've done a symphony of his a couple years ago. He was a big symphonist, and now it's going to be Giovanni Sgambati. Sgambati is a fabulous musician. Toscanini championed both of these composers. in Italy. And then when he came here to the NBC, also did some work with their compositions here. So he was introducing their works. But after that, it sort of fell away again. It's not foreign to people in Italy and Germany and France. But for some reason, these compositions fell by the wayside and don't get performed here in the United States as much. It's a little odd in form because he doesn't do it in the Sonata Allegro form of four movements. He tags a fifth movement on, which is really stunning. And it breaks the form, expands it a little bit. But if you like Brahms, you like Bruckner, you like Beethoven, and Schumann almost, and it has elements of Schubert in it, in its lyricism, and the beautiful song-like tunes that you almost could hear a gondolier, for example, singing the melody to, you know what I mean? Or in the Napolitan songs in Naples, the beautiful melodies. So, you know, these gentlemen grew up in Italy hearing all this beautiful operatic vocal music. So it creeped into their writing because these beautiful lines for the winds and the strings and the beautiful brass chords are all operatic sounding without text. And it's just beautiful lyricism and gorgeous writing. So, but a beautiful composition, and it's going to be a big surprise for everybody. The more I delve into these scores and listen and study, I think to myself, why are we not hearing this great repertoire being performed more frequently? Because it could have a foothold in the main stage.
Well, the way I say it, so much music, so little time.
No, and you know? You're exactly right. And the thing is that our ear gets a little bit thin because people keep playing, you know, the same top 50 greatest hits of classical music, and we forget these names of other composers from the 1800s, you know?
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. When we spoke in April, we talked about how this whole season is going to be a little different this year. Let's sort of do a little introduction there.
You know, this year, continuing to grow a great quality orchestra and to grow a great audience with great support, the target keeps moving. And you can't just keep repeating history and playing the same old war horses, if you will. This season is going to be filled with diversity in many, many ways. So you can see the first program, Bernstein, Gershwin, then Zgambati. The question is, who's Zgambati? You know, I programmed the Gershwin and the Bernstein because that's what's going to sell the tickets, right? Because people are going to come for familiarity. But they're going to walk away singing the tunes and talking about this Zgambati piece was awesome. And that's my madness to my method a little bit.
Doesn't sound mad to me at all.
You know, we're doing Bolero this year, which is a great work, a big standard work, while introducing new works to them. Of course, we got a little thing going on at Christmas time, this holiday concert, which is an easy, fun sell, sold-out performances. But I'm also doing in February this year something different, an evening of John Williams and Friends. I'm not labeling it like a pops concert because it's really wonderful movie scores that are underneath every film. Because if as wonderful as a Steven Spielberg or any of these great, great filmmakers are, okay, if it wasn't for those amazing classical orchestrated scores, they would be such a disappointment. It would be myopic to look at it in silence.
Oh, I know. John Williams, Elmer Bernstein.
Hans Zimmer.
Zimmer.
One of my favorites, you know, who did Gladiator. People might know him from that movie, Gladiator, who was very popular, and many other things, too. He's just an awesome composer where the music lives by itself, and it's going to be really, really exciting. Also in November, George, we're doing a salute to our armed forces, which I think is timely and a very wonderful thing. We have many people in our community that have served or are serving in our armed forces, and it's a very important thing for us in America to look at and to say thank you. So this is like a tribute to them, and I filled it with great music, including things like the suite from the movie JFK, score of John Williams. There's also a Persichetti piece called A Lincoln Address with narration, and it's actually with quoting the words of Abraham Lincoln during the piece. It's very, very powerful. This is in addition to the Armed Forces Salute, which plays every branch of the service's theme song, you know, and will recognize people in the audience.
That's
fun.
The Murray Town and Gown band did that on 4th of July a couple of years ago. And it was a lot of fun, and the audience really gets into it and enjoys it, and they stand up, and they said, if you were a veteran of the Marines, you stand up.
Right, exactly.
And run it right
and we'll
down
do the same
line.
Thing. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great evening. Again, great music. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Everybody, come on.
Absolutely.
Thanks.